Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Cundori & Murat. They're our official show sponsor at Grant & Danny to help protect your assets, update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Love giving away good tickets.
It's good.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You're winning a four-pack of tickets to the UFL DC Defenders home opener. Sunday, April 7th, they're taking on Houston at Audi Field. Tickets are on sale right now. Tickets and more event information, check it out, thefandc.com. The Beltway Blitz going to cover the Wiz and the NFL. Let's get you started on the ice. Three straight losses, just 1 point out of six in these last three games for the Caps. And last night's third period was ugly. They went in down 3-2. It ended with them losing 6-2. Steve Wino of the Associated Press joins us now. What went wrong in Buffalo?
See, just a little bit of everything. And Charlie Lindgren was not at his best, but he was given no favors by his teammates. Turnovers, mistakes all over the place. Just one of those games that as a coaching staff and as a team, you kind of want to flush and throw out and move on as quickly as possible.
It's now a few straight here, Swan, although they did manage a point against Boston. But to me, this is just a little bit of a regression. They shouldn't have been as good as they were with a bunch of the kids and, you know, missing Wilson and Oshie and out of the lineup. This sort of, to me, feels inevitable to a degree. Your thoughts?
A little bit. But what I worry about for this team is Charlie Lindgren sort of regression to the mean of what his career is, because this is the most games he's ever played in an NHL season, and really at any level of his career, that if you're the Capitals, you had to rely on Lindgren so much down the stretch because he's played so well, but that maybe the amount of games he's played is taking a little bit of a toll on him.
Steve Wino of the AP on our Beltway Blitz. Tom Wilson back from suspension for tomorrow night's game with the Penguins. What kind of lift are you anticipating, and in what ways could that change things for the Caps?
It's a big deal. I'm sorry that your boy Matthew Phillips got sent down to the AHL as a result of Tom Wilson coming back. But this is a player who brings just a characteristic that nobody else in the league really does as a power forward. And just for depth on the right side, TJ Oshie still kind of dealing with the nagging back injuries off and on that are clearly affecting his performance. To have Tom Wilson back as a top six player on that right side is huge, just for kind of fit everybody else in the lineup in the right place. Nicholas Obey-Kubel is a fourth line player, not a second line player. And having Tom Wilson there really helps kind of slot everybody correctly.
Will they make the playoffs, Wino?
Yeah, I think so, Danny. I think that the Flyers have kind of cratered here to where they really have seen some regression to the mean. The Capitals are still ahead of the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, you can ask me again after tomorrow night's game against the Penguins, because it's a biggie. But we're getting down the stretch here. I'd still bet on the Capitals getting in, but it's way less sure of a bet than it would have been 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I'm with you on everything you just said. And I guess for me, what I'm more curious about is how are they playing going in? Because they might get in almost thanks to, as you said, Philly and Detroit collapsing. And unless they're really playing well going in, it's not going to feel quite like as much of an accomplishment, if that makes sense. Also, if they're not playing well going in, you don't have much of a chance to get out of the first round. Thoughts on that?
No, I think you're right about that. And I don't. It is hard to go up the standings, climb the standings, and claw for these points the way the Capitals have over the past month or so, to where they may be exhausted when the playoffs start. Honestly, it's one of those things that not that it's not an incredible accomplishment. I actually do think it getting in, no matter how they get in, is an accomplishment given the way they started the season, given the expectations, given how old this roster is, some of the injuries, losing Nick Backstrom, trading Evgeny Kuznetsov, and all of this, these things the team has gone through. But I do think they may be out of gas after game 82.
Is there a tweak or something? I mean, there, you know, you kind of are who you are at this point through 74 games, but is there, you know, a small adjustment maybe that would make sense for them down the stretch over their last eight or so?
I think they need to manage John Carlson's minutes, and that's nothing against him, but at 34 years old playing 26 minutes a night, I think they need to trust the other defensemen, Rasmus Sandin, Martin Ferravari, Trevor Reimsdyk, Nick Jensen, to play a little bit more and just manage the situations for John Carlson. Back-to-back situations like Pittsburgh and Carolina on Thursday and Friday of this week, and another back-to-back at the end of the season against Boston and Washington. John Carlson's still playing at an elite level, but there's only so many kind of miles a player can skate over a season before it starts to kind of wear on guys. And I think Spencer Carberry, the coaching staff, kind of managing John Carlson's minutes, I think, is the biggest, most important factor down the stretch.
All right, two things on tomorrow night with the Penguins. Number one, Oshie status, and then just give me a little preview of Pittsburgh.
Questionable for TJ Oshie. You'd like to think he's going to play, but if he's not effective at sort of being, I don't know, 75 or 80% healthy, it's a really big decision on whether to play him at not quite 100% healthy. The Penguins coming off two games at the Rangers and in New Jersey, this is a team that Sidney Crosby is trying to drive the bus to get the Penguins into the playoffs. They traded Jake Gensel to Carolina. They have no business being in this race, but Sidney Crosby is having one of his best years, maybe not statistically, but certainly the way he has played, he is trying to drag the Penguins into the playoffs, and we're going to get to see that up close tomorrow night.
Swan, thank you as always, buddy. Be well.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Talk soon. Hit that Wizard sounder, please. Our guy Dave Johnson, you can hear him on the Wizards broadcast when they are on the radio. Dave, probably the win of the year last night. What a complete game by this team.
It was. It was the best win of the year. This team was shorthanded before the tip-off. They lost Marvin Bagley, their starting center, before halftime to a knee injury. This was a game you went into thinking they'll fight. We know they'll fight. They typically do. There's been a handful of games this year. It hasn't been there, but that's going to happen with any team in an 82-game schedule. But I really thought, as the game was going on, at some point, and the Bucks certainly flirted with doing this, this is a team with Giannis. This is a team with Chris Middleton. You know, they know how to be down all game and then be the better team at the end and flex their muscles and put you away and break your heart. And I was preparing my heart to be broken. But these guys just never stopped. And it shows you that if you bust out of your skin in the NBA on any given night, you know, truly you can beat any team.
Dave, how about 21-year-old Tristan Vukcevic, the 7-footer? What have you made of him?
Well, you know, first thing he was mad about after the game when he talked to us was he missed his 3-point shots. I mean, that's his, you know, reputation, if you will. He's a 7-footer that can stretch the floor, but I'm not worried about that. Some of the moves he put on last night as he was dribbling into the lane and running hook shots and ones, you know, he's not afraid of the moment. The moment's not too big for him. He's just, you know, his first two shots he made in the NBA were on the road against Chicago, 3-pointers. And again, that was another great win. But by far, as you guys outlined at the start of this is the best win because it was such a character win and such a victory for the process and all the words we keep talking about, but there are words that sometimes are hard to believe when you're not seeing tangible results. But he's one of those guys that are a second-round pick. You know, he can 7-footer, he can shoot, he can stretch the floor. He came over the big steal on Giannis in the closing minute that probably sealed the game. So you get excited because if another team, and again, let's be clear, I'm not saying this, I'm not saying he's the next Jokic, but if you can find a Jokic in the second round, why can't you find a gem like Vukcevic in the second round? And there's lots of examples of guys that you don't have to be Jokic and come out of the second round and be unheard of, but you can come out of the second round and suddenly have a very nice NBA career and make a difference with the team.
Dave, I have fallen in love with many a point guard, only to be let down and have my heart broken a little bit. And it's also easy to say someone had a good game after they shot well. And Jared Butler shot it great last night, 3 of 3 from three, 7 of 10 from the field. But even games where he hasn't shot well, you see he's contributing. Had a 13-assist game coming off the bench, I believe. There's something here. I like this guy.
There's something here. You know, he's got championship, pedigree with Baylor. I mean, there's something to that. But there's also, and we've talked about it in our broadcast, he comes in the game and he has a way of calming things down. And Chris Wright, the former Georgetown point guard on our postgame show, talks about it. Just, you know, true point guards have that in their DNA. They just know how to push the right buttons. And quite frankly, it's a beautiful thing to see. When you have someone that young, but also with that awareness of what he's supposed to do. Yes, he can make, and believe me, he made a couple threes back-to-back that just really were to our friend Steve Buckhans, daggers at the Bucks last night. And, again, this is, it may not be sexy, but this is, you know, what this part of the season is about. You know, do we have something in Jared Butler? You know, what is Vucevic is all about? You know, we're seeing that Denny Avdija from start to finish this season has not only been the most consistent, but continues to go on an upward rise. So that's what you want to go into the off season, because believe me, in 2 years' time, we're not going to remember whether it was 15 wins, whether it was 20 wins. We're going to remember whether we really have progress to talk about and really if we feel like we're turning the corner. And it does start with a boring – Paul Pierce said this when he came here and was always the first person in the locker room. You set a culture, those overused words. It's a day-by-day process, and it's not something that's going to grab the headlines. But unless you do it day-by-day and practice-by-practice, you're not going to have games like the Bucks last night. And you're not going to have moments in the future where you feel really good about things.
Dave, thank you as always. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, be good. Somebody. By the way, the Wizards 15-61 after that win. So they are still second worst among the teams in the NBA's records right now. Meaning, if you're bottom three, you're tied for the best chance to get the number one pick. Pistons have 13 wins. Wizards have 15. Spurs have 18. All have a 14% chance to get the number one overall pick in the lottery. Let's keep it moving. Our guy, Ben Brown, who covers the National Football League, joins us now. Let's talk Stephon Diggs, Houston Texan. That doesn't sound weird at all. What do you make of the Bills-Texans trade?
Yeah, I mean, I very much think it speaks to the Texans continuing down this path of trying to build around C.J. Stroud, obviously doing everything they can to maximize that championship window when he's on that rookie contract. So to me, you know, I do think in a lot of ways they already had a relatively deep but young receiving unit, and I think this in some ways kind of answers the bell for them and in a lot of ways also makes the Buffalo Bills weaker. It'll be interesting to see what they kind of focus on coming up in this NFL draft. But to me, you know, the weapons surrounding Josh Allen are deteriorating relatively quickly. It seems like they have to have some sort of approach to rebuild off of that. But longer term, I do think the Texans have, in some ways, in a lot of cases with this trade, kind of overtaken the Bills and a lot of other teams to kind of maybe be that second or third best team in the AFC when it's all said and done next season.
Ben, maybe it's just the hype leading up to the draft and all the noise and the 10 trillion mocks that I've read and everything else. But I really do feel like this may be the tradiest draft I can remember. I mean, you know, I feel like times like in the past, there's been some hype and then, you know, there's not much that gets done. I feel like teams are going to be on the move this time. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely don't hate it. I think in some ways we've seen a little bit of increase, especially, you know, early on in the first round sort of thing. Like we have seen more and more trades. And I do think in a lot of ways, the direction with which the later rounds have gone has been go up and kind of get a guy if you do fall in love with him. So I think that kind of plays out. And I agree with you. It seems like a lot of teams are kind of in this weird mid-tier of the first round that very much kind of need to move up. And I do think there are some teams, you know, specifically the Cardinals and Chargers, who could very much benefit from kind of moving down. I think it's going to create, in a lot of ways, a perfect storm, but it seems like we're still kind of waiting for that ultimate piece to really drop in a lot of these trades to start happening. And I think because of that, with the delay in which that potentially is happening, that might not manifest as many trade snares as we're expecting right now.
Do you think anybody really knows anything about where the quarterbacks are going to end up after Caleb Williams?
I think Washington knows, I would say, for sure at this point in time. I do think they obviously are, you know, kind of the linchpin in at the second overall pick for where these quarterbacks kind of go. But they very much have their pick of the second tier quarterbacks outside of Caleb Williams. To me, I'm not confident in what direction they really lean, but I think outside of that, it's going to be teams, you know, kind of choosing the 1B and 1C option after Washington kind of has their pick of the litter. So I think Washington knows, and they're going to hold a lot of cards as far as like what team tries to end up trading up to that third or fourth overall selection, I would say, once they kind of make that pick or lock in on a specific guy before the draft.
Ben, speaking of Washington, their free agents activity, it's a lot of veterans, but a lot of short-term deals, clearly trying to make up for a big talent deficiency from the previous regime, just sort of establish some kind of, you know, step forward as they kind of make way for some younger guys in terms of a build. What's the outside perspective looking in, though, on what Washington has done in free agency? Is it more head-scratching or more, hey, I get what they're doing, they're taking their time?
Yeah, I definitely think it's definitely the secondary one. I mean, obviously, I think Yetayo Bidez's 3-year deal is kind of interesting. But like you said, you know, Eckler's only on a 2-year deal. In some ways, it's almost this, like, competitive rebuild type of approach, getting some veteran guys, obviously very much signifying that they are going to go quarterback, kind of bringing in Marcus Mariota as the veteran backup presence. So to me, I don't think it's head scratching. I do think taking their time and maybe not agreeing to massive, overly complicated, longer term deals is going to set themselves up well, because they very much still have to answer the quarterback question. I think they have some key pieces offensively, but this is very much, I would say, a multi-year rebuild and evaluation after this first year with kind of the entire new regime under the belt.
Benjamin, thank you. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
See you, buddy.
Good info. How about Stephon Diggs on the move, a blockbuster in the NFL today, going from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans? Are the Bills still a Super Bowl contender right now, in your opinion? First thought,
yes.
I would say yes, because they have Josh Allen. It's not been a great offseason, though.
No, a net loss. But it's still young in the sense that I don't think they're going to be active in free agency. It depends on what happens in this draft, though, with, you know, some reinforcements and replacements. But they're still good. And it's almost like it's easy to start questioning that if you've gotten beat by Mahomes, gotten beat by Joe Burrow and Cincinnati when they were right, as if to say, we haven't done anything yet. But they have. They've been really good and a break or two away at times from being a Super Bowl team.
You've lost a couple of stars in your secondary. Right? Now don't have your top one or two wide receivers from this past year.
Gabe Davis is gone too.
That's right. As well, so they're replacing both of them. And forget the powerhouses in the conference. How about the division? Miami is good.
Yeah.
They're going to be a 10-win team every year.
Aaron Rodgers, Jets, question mark?
The Jets are loaded. I mean, they have pushed the chips in again with Aaron Rodgers, who's back from injury. So that division is three deep. Now the Patriots will probably win 5 or 6 games, I would imagine, with a new head coach this year. But three teams, mm-hmm, all double-digit wins, making the playoffs is not a foregone conclusion.
No, it's not. And the AFC's crowded. I mean, it still is, right? There's more talent there. There's more good teams on that side. But, yeah, I still think they are, right? And again, whether they win it or not, they're my kind of classic case in point that I always sort of use, where you just remind people it's super hard to get this thing right. Like, they have done nothing wrong over the last handful of years, have had double-digit win seasons, have been really, really good, and it was someone else's year every time, mostly Mahomes. But at one time, it was Burrow and company's year.
Yeah, they have probably, when you say they've, you know, haven't done anything wrong, I would say they've probably done almost everything right.
Yeah, one AFC title game, I think, to show for it. That's it.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
I still think the window's wide open because you have Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's my answer, my long-winded way of saying, yeah, they're worse, and they hadn't done it before, but do you have Josh Allen? It takes one playoff run where he just throws everybody on his back, plays his three best games, and now you're in the Super Bowl. And I still think you have a possibility of that.
Yeah, similar to, like, say, Baltimore, for example. Like, you can't do it. They'll never be able to do it. They're a Zay Flowers fumble at the goal line away from being tied in the AFC title game with Mahomes and company. You know, like, everybody's right there.
5 o'clock, 40 minutes out, John Middlecoff, the former scout who we're going to talk about the draft prospects with. Looking forward to catching up with him. At 5 o'clock on G&D. Next, though, you got the Wizards and the Capitals having $500 million dumped into their arena. The Commanders building a new stadium. We were just at Nats Park, talked about some of the renovations there. What are the things that matter to you as a fan when it comes to game experience and venue, stadium, arena in 2024. I think it's a decent time to have that conversation in D.C. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Capitals and the Wizards yesterday found out that they'll be getting $515 million dumped into their arena to upgrade Capital One over the next 3 years. Meanwhile, Nationals Park opened for a brand new campaign in 2024 this week, and we saw some of the renovations that have been done there. Brand new scoreboard, brand new lights. And the team that was supposed to have had a new stadium by now, going back way back when. We're still wondering, where is it going to end up? When are they going to break ground? Will it be in Virginia, Maryland, or D.C.? The Commanders, they are, as we speak, Danny, finishing or continuing. I don't know where they're at in the process. Putting together the blueprints and the plans for as many as three different potential stadiums, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
One in Virginia, one in Maryland, one in D.C., right? That's what we've been told they're doing by Josh Harris.
Uh-huh.
Today seems like a good time to just have a bigger picture discussion about going to games in 2024. Because I mentioned on the show last week that 66% of adults in America prefer to watch a movie at home than to go to a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in a way that wasn't the case decades ago, you can actually order movies on some of these apps. Not all of them, but occasionally, at the same time that it's in the movie theater, you are able to spend $20 or whatever it is and just watch it at home. And 2/3 of adults like doing that. And I think you could actually extrapolate that out to sports.
100%.
I think the majority, probably, of sports fans would prefer to watch games at home than go to games. That's something that teams are constantly fighting. High definition's amazing. TVs are cheap, man. Getting a flat screen that's a beautiful picture in your basement for 80 and 90 inches costs nothing compared to what it cost 10 and 15 years ago. Food and drinks in the fridge,
yep,
ready to go. You don't have to worry about spending crazy amounts of money to get a hot dog bun without a dog in it. And did you see what happened over Bill Gates Ted?
I did see that.
Or, whatever else, 30-minute line you waited in to get your lukewarm food or whatever. So I want to talk stadium experience. Like, mm-hmm, what matters? What gets you to go? What gets you to leave your house, to get to a game, to buy season tickets? What do you care about at this point?
Number one for me, and I got a list. Number one is ease. That's the word, ease. Is it easy to park? Is it easy to travel there? Is it easy to get in? Is it easy to get a hot dog? Is it easy to get to my seat? Or is it a hassle? Is it a pain in the butt?
You're talking in and out.
All things. Everything having to do, it's got to be easy for me. The instant you put a challenge in front of me, a hurdle, I'll do it because I got tickets that time, but I ain't coming back.
Well, this just isn't for you anymore, I don't think.
Well, but I'm serious. You need to make to understand, because you said the pulls that aren't at the stadium are really strong now, right? As you said, game on cable. I'm not spending $80 on Dippin' Dots and a couple souvenir things for my kids. I can just watch when I want, how I want. I can DVR. I have more options. You need to make it easy on people. Right? Whatever that is, whatever the technology is, I don't know. I know this, a couple years ago at Nats Park, our station was lucky, they were kind enough to let me use the suite, our you know, sort of station suite, right? Because on a night that nobody was using it, the team wasn't very good, so nobody cared. I took like my son and his little league team. I had to show my ticket, and everyone that came to our suite had to show their ticket to a different person 6 or 7 different times. That's all we could talk about the entire time. It turned off everybody that was there. I'm sure people were just doing their jobs. I'm not mad at anybody about it. But I'm telling you, that situation made it so that you had fewer people that wanted to come back. It was so, okay, we're coming back with drinks and food and things for the kids. And everyone's shouting at me, can I see your ticket, please? I've already shown it a few times. You didn't show it to me. Okay, hold on a second. Can you hold all my food before you get your scanner out to scan it again? I've already done this with several people. Got to find a way to make it easy. You have to make it easy on people. That's number one. Go ahead.
I'll give you my top one, and we can go back and forth.
Okay.
Here. So my number one is actually nothing that teams can control. My number one thing about going to games is weather. If I have tickets to a game, like the Nats game tonight, it's raining all day. Nothing makes me contemplate not going to a game like the climate. Like, is it cold? Is it wet? Now, there's not much that can be done about that, except that I think you got to have a retractable roof in anything that you build at this point. Baseball fans feel weird about, they're a little bit different about this, like this idea of having a retractable roof, a ballpark in a climate where the weather's pretty pleasant, like DC, in mm-hmm. terms of it doesn't get too hot, you don't need it in the summer. I think anything that you build has to have a retractable roof. When you build it, you don't have it, like Nats Park, you're not adding to it. That doesn't really happen. That costs too much. But the Commanders, as an example.
Yep.
If it's either dome or open, then it should be dome. But nothing needs to be that way. You just have a retractable roof that can open and close. But I think weather is massively significant. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be too hot. This is my Goldilocks,
mm-hmm.
like sports take, right? I don't want to be wet in the rain. So I think that's number one. And that just means quick fix. Got to have a roof on the sucker.
I love that
one.
Don't
have to worry about that with the arena, obviously.
I love that one.
Next one would be parking for me. Parking is a game changer. With kids, especially in these venues that are in D.C. proper, it's the first thing that I really think about.
Mm.
Where are we parking? What kind of walk to the building is it? What neighborhood are we walking in? What time does the game end? Is it safe or not? Like, these are the considerations that I'm thinking about.
Yep.
If I'm going with my buddies, if I'm going with Toby and Darius and Ryan, or, you know, I'm going with pals I've got, I don't care about that. Not like a tough guy or anything, but we're probably going to be fine. I doubt anyone's going to walk up and bother four of us. And if they do, then we'll deal with it as it happens. Bad luck. But with my little kids and my wife, it's a major concern.
Yep.
Something that I'm thinking about a lot. So parking, I think wherever they build anything and whatever you do, that has to be a huge, huge consideration. Or if you don't want to call it parking, then easy in and out, as you said, with Metro.
Mm-hmm.
Or driving there, like the arena in Virginia, remember, I think had 2,500 spots or whatever it was. That was the number, I mm-hmm. think, which is more than a Capital One arena. But if you count all the garages right around there, that's not comparable to what
right.
you've got at City Center and all those walkable places from Gallery Place.
Yeah, that's included in my ease part, but you're right. An emphasis should be on that, right? Where we can accommodate X number of parkers. We can accommodate X number of Uber or Lyft drivers or taxis or whatever to get people to the stadium. It cannot be a hassle. Fully endorse that one. Second to me is to have cheap options. Whatever that is, whether it's and you know, some teams are doing this, like the Nats have their cheap ticket days and things like that, have the ability for people to come to your stadium. It can't just be all about the luxury thing. For the high rollers, God bless you, congratulations, you know, you win. And that's what everybody's catering towards now. I understand that. That's where your bread and butter has to be. It's how teams are going to make money. I'm not naive. I get it. You'd rather have somebody sitting on the wood drinking, you know, $31 cocktail than me in section 410, you know, nursing one bag of popcorn. I understand that. But you need me too. There's got to be something cheap, whether it's concessions. And again, the Nets have done an awesome thing with the Kids Eat Free deal and some of the, you know, the walk-up tickets that are easy to grab. More of those kind of things. There have to be those kind of options to me. It's really important.
What do you guys care the most about? I'm thinking about this through the lens of the Commanders building a new stadium, but also Ted Leonsis and Monumental Sports just got the green light for their $500 million renovations. And while they're putting, you know, lipstick on a building that's already there, they're trying to figure out what enhances, what improves. When you're going to a game, what determines whether you are enjoying yourself or not? And please, they need to win. Good team. We get that. Okay. We can leave that one. That joke can
be
someone
else's.
We
can do it, guys. We can do it.
But what else? I mean, what do you care about? 800-636-1067. I think this is the perfect time to have this convo. With the Nats now, starting this year, 16 years in, going, all right, where are we falling behind at this ballpark? What are we going to add? What do we need to do? It's us in the A's with lights that if they, you know, go dark for a second, we got to wait 30 minutes to start playing again. Let's get new lights. That's not something fans are going to notice, but I think after a big home run in the late innings and the flashing colors, and it's going to be a little more cool at the ballpark for sure. But your main thing is ease, which is
everything from parking, accessibility, no lines anywhere. It's you've got to make it easy for me to do what I want. Get in, get out.
Yeah, and you're just not going to bat 1,000 on that because you're with
sure.
a lot of people.
Sure, totally.
Yeah,
totally.
But you want it to not be a hassle as often as possible.
Totally.
800-636-1067, you want to hop in on Grant and Danny.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
John Middlecoff, former NFL scout who is now with The Volume, joins us coming up at the top of the hour in about 15 minutes. Get his take on each of the draft prospects. The quarterback position at the top of the board. The stadium and arena conversations in this town have been bountiful lately. Seemed like a good time to discuss with the Commanders building something new, the Capitals and Wizards massively upgrading and addressing their arena. The Nats tweaking theirs this offseason. What do you care most about as a consumer when you go to games? What gets you out of your man cave at this point? Ken is in Bethesda. What's up, Ken?
Hey, I definitely wanted to echo Danny's comments about, you know, making efficient use of our time, you know, getting into the stadium or park, you know, getting food, going to the bathroom, getting out of there. I mean, I don't want to spend, you know, any more time than I have to getting to and from a game. I mean, my son and I went to a Caps game, I guess it was Saturday night. He went to get something to eat intermission and missed half of the next period before he got back to a seat, which is, you know, kind of crazy. You know, the other thing I'll add in is seat size. I mean, I'm, you know, above average size guy, but I'm not huge. And, you know, some of those seats, especially when you get the higher sections, you're not in the club sections. It's just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's a thing.
I mentioned this because people always talk about how great Cap. They're like, what do you mean you want a new arena? Well, Capital One Arena's fine. Go sit in the 400s for a basketball game and tell me how great it is. You know, it was built at a time, it's almost 30 years old, where the seats are not as close to the surface as in some places, which is part of what they want to change. I don't know how they'll do it. with the $515 million. But also, I sat up there. Now, I am more than just a little bit bigger than the average person. I'm a big fatso. But I'm telling you, I'm not even talking about getting my butt in the seat. That's not the problem. I am short. I'm 5'8 and change.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people taller than me. My legs were so cramped.
Yeah.
10 minutes into Monster Truck with my kid in Section 4, whatever the heck we were in, that I literally told him at one point, I'm like, let's go get you some snow cone.
Let's go walk around.
I literally just had to stand up because I was cramping.
Mm-hmm.
And the room up there is terrible. That's
without
a big deal. You need to be able to, like, I don't know, spread your legs a little bit, or I shouldn't feel worse than I do on a flight when I'm sitting in a game.
Yeah, I went to, you know, Fenway Park in 04 before they updated a lot of that stuff, and I'm like, I can't fit here. You know, like, and again, I'm a bigger dude, but it's not outrageous. It's like, this is built for men in the 1920s.
Right.
We're bigger now.
There's probably a little bit of it where you go, we'll lose weight. That's your problem.
Yeah, that's
but
on
I'm
you,
not
fatty.
Like the 400-pound person on the airplane that's saying, I deserve two seats. You know, like, let's right. settle. Can we have a middle ground here, please? Where I would like to just be able to sit in a seat and not cramp. And again, height is not shouldn't be an issue for me that I can't, my knees are touching the seat in front of me. I don't know how like a 6'5" guy or a 6'2"
Seriously.
Guy could go to the 400s and sit in the section I was in. Kevin in Centerville, what's good?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey buddy.
My daughter, you know, has special needs. She's neurodiverse, autism, all that, and you know, ambulatory issues. Nats Park does a horrible job of taking into their needs into account. Cap One Arena is not any better. She loves baseball. I would love to take her to more games, but the experience of parking in the garage in the handicap parking, then coming down three flights, when the elevator is not really available, you have to come down the stairs. You have to walk all the way. When you look at like how to find accessible seating, it is all near impossible on their website to find that sort of stuff. They have literally one room where you can go and quiet down a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
like they need to have some more stuff that like treats people that have special needs with a little bit, like they need some help.
It needs to be easier in that regard to find and discover everything. I had a friend with a similar experience where he's like, they technically have it, so you can't like, you wouldn't like, not that you would, but you couldn't like beat him in court. They'd say, no, we got it. It's right here. But there was nothing easy about it, right? Where it's obviously there's an extra layer of challenge on those parents and families.
I love that they're bonding over baseball, though. And
100%.
Hope you can get her out to a bunch of games.
100%.
Luke in Falls Church, what's up?
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, buddy.
That's a good bit. Thanksgiving.
So I would just like to say a little fan appreciation. This is more towards Commanders. But if you have gear on, you get 20% off of a concession stand. So even if we're losing, our chicken tendies are $2 less than the other team. So we feel good about it, winning off the field.
Appreciate you, dude. So if that's a universal thing, right, is that something that now we know is going to happen, that they're going to do it cheaper? Or, like, we hope it will be? Like, what do we know?
I don't know enough about – I mean, I don't know anything about that. I know – here's what I think should happen with concession stands. There are enough places, though, that are just doing a cheap value option, like the Falcons started.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were the first one to give credit for. But I don't know why that's not ubiquitous. Or maybe it's just before the game you could do it. But I think you can – if your team's not very good, especially, you should consider this. Like, I was watching – who sent this? Was it Darius or Ryan sent it to me last night? One of the teams had an all-you-can-eat.
The Marlins, $52.
Yeah, the $52 Marlins, all you can eat. No one goes to those games. $52, go sit in decent seats, and you get to eat whatever you want for 9 innings. That's a reason to go, and 6 or 7 buddies get together on a Saturday night and go out and go, all right, we're doing dinner at the Marlins game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what should be happening. It's just, give me something, man.
Yeah, when I took my kid to the Ravens game, like, pretzels were $2, hot dog was $3. You know, like, I made several trips to the concession stand for he and I. Yeah. Hot dog was like $3. I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, this is up. Now, that year, they ended up not going to the postseason, I guess, because Lamar Jackson was hurt, and we saw Tyler Huntley against the eventual champion Rams. But it was – we ate for less than $20, and we're full, and it was awesome.
So I didn't believe you at all, for the record, and I just Googled this. Ravens concession price drop includes $5 beers, $3 hot dogs.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. Oh, this is a different Ravens. This is a not.
This is the high school Ravens
this
team.
This is like a high school, some high school.
It wasn't three, it was four. But the point is, it was like, I couldn't believe it. I did like a Looney Tunes. I was stunned that it was, what's that word? Affordable. Because you know your clientele.
Let's go to Justin in Alexandria. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Danny.
I'm on it.
I'm into a strong bathroom game experience at the stadium.
Ooh, can't go wrong with that.
I like to have some bevies. I think beers at DC United this Saturday were, who knows, $27 a piece, whatever they were. But you like to have a few beers. I'm approaching 40, need to use the bathroom, right? Doesn't hold like it used to. And I want a strong experience. I want lots of space. I want clean stalls, right? The floor is clean, a nice privacy barrier. Maybe there's little TVs above the stalls. Are you guys feeling what I'm feeling? Usually pretty gross at a stadium.
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking there.
Classy bathroom situation.
I mean, early fourth quarter, it's not going to be as nice as maybe you're thrown back home right after a cleaning. But yeah, I get the point. I'd like to feel not gross going into the latrine.
I just think it's either a priority or it isn't.
Yeah.
And you could tell a lot about, I always say with restaurants, you go into their bathroom, I know how it's run. I know if the kitchen is a smooth operation. You go into the bathroom, what's it look like? How much effort and care are they putting into this thing? It tells you a lot about the operation. Stadiums are probably very similar. One more. Let's go Mike Falls Church. What do you care about when you go to a game?
I got two things for the Nats. Number one, they do home batting practice before the stadium opens. So it doesn't matter how early you get there with your kid. He doesn't get to catch a fake home run ball from Bryce Harper. My kid's older now. He's outgrown it all. But, you know, for years we go and never get to see the home team doing batting practice because the stadium was closed at that time. And even when it's open, look, man, my kid got lucky. I'm a lawyer. His mom's a doctor. We were able to buy the field level seats. But, man, I grew up on food stamps and school lunches, and I can't get close to the field. Kids can't get close to the field unless you're paying $110, $120 for a ticket.
Totally right.
That's just not right. So before this game starts, they shouldn't have the ushers blocking kids from getting out to see their heroes. And the last thing I'd say is, on a night like this, when you know the stadium's going to be half empty, after the fifth inning, pull those ushers. Let people get down close to the field. Let people support their team.
So I'm very pro everything you're talking about.
Yeah, totally agree with all that.
I don't think you can pull the ushers because, look, people are still paying a lot of money to sit close. And if I'm trying to sit in my seat and someone's just decided to sit there and it's a wild, wild west, that's not cool. I spent a lot of money I'm not saying me personally, but whoever,
right,
you know, paid to sit there. So I don't agree with that. What I agree with, though, and I will always believe this, it annoys me to no end when ushers are overzealous about kicking people out of sections. If someone's trying to come down and you say, hey, can I see your ticket? No problem. But I know ushers. I've seen ushers at Nats Park.
Seen them do it.
They'll go on a break. They'll come back after 20 minutes, and they see new people sitting in seats, and they'll go up and say, can I see your ticket? Uh-uh. No chance. You missed your chance on your break or because someone else was here. You don't get to go now hunting people down to kick them out. It's outrageous. And we're talking about, like, outfield sections, right?
And again, I get if it's packed and someone's probably coming back because they're been in line at Hot Dogs for an inning and a half because the line's really long. I understand
right.
that when it's on like a night like tonight where it's probably not going to be packed because it's raining and miserable and whatever, and you could sit anywhere.
But I would say
let's not do that
to people listening. I've had a lot of conversations over the years with ushers about this, and most of them appreciate if you just go up to them and say, "Hey, my ticket's upstairs. Is there any chance if I come back in a couple innings and it's pretty light tonight?" that maybe I could grab a seat here. And they might say no. It's just like asking a girl out. You might get embarrassed. But they also might be like, yeah, no problem. And if I was an usher, I know they got a job to do. You're helping people get to and from their seats. You're trying to keep the environment safe. The job really isn't to make sure that someone doesn't get a better seat than they paid for. And if you think of it that way, I think you're probably doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with him in general. When I was a young person, we would go up to Camden Yards. We'd spend $9 to get tickets, cheapest in the house every single time. And then we'd move around until we got kicked out of sections. And it was the only way we were getting anywhere near the ball field. But I think the overzealousness of ushers is a lot to deal with.
Agreed.
John Middlecoff, who is a former scout has been scouting the quarterbacks in this draft class. Next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.